The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted." This is the word of life. So I have a couple jokes too. Thank you, Alyssa, for being my warm-up act. first one. Why do fish swim in schools? Because they can't walk. What kind of music should you listen to when you're fishing? Any of you fisher folk know? Of course, something catchy. Okay, so if you thought that was bad, wait till this last one. What do you get when you cross a fishing lure with a gym sock? Hook, line, and stinker. It seemed like it went with the book, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Good jokes are kind of like good parables. You listen to them, and they kind of draw you in, and then there's this little sharp little barb at the end. It's like, ooh, gotcha. So this parable that Jesus told about the Pharisee and the tax collector is kind of like that. It begins, two men went to the temple to pray. And it ends a few verses later by concluding, and one went home justified. In between is this story that seems pretty straightforward. One of these two men is pretty confident of himself. He's a Pharisee, a man who has devoted his life to faith and to serving God through his life. His prayer, we understand, however, shouldn't be our prayer, right? "Dear God," he says, "I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector." His prayer seems a little haughty, to use a biblical word, a little arrogant, maybe even a bit self-righteous. But the tax collector, who's also in the temple praying, stands at a distance from the Pharisee, away from the center of the temple where people would usually gather. And his prayer is quite different, isn't it? He says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." This is the one, Jesus says, who returns to his home justified. And there we have it, the punchline, you know, of the story. The moral of the story, don't be proud or arrogant like the Pharisee, but instead be humble like the tax collector. That kind of seems pretty easy, right? Doesn't it? Except the fact that the Pharisee is actually right. He's not like other people, is he? He's a Pharisee. He's a man of faith. He's not a thief or a troublemaker or an adulterer. He's definitely not like the tax collector who worked for the Roman government, collecting taxes from his own people, the Jewish people that helped pay for and support the Roman army's occupation of their land. In fact, when the Pharisee goes on, we realize that he's not just right, but he actually is righteous. He says, I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of my income. He tithes. He's following the law of Israel. Because to be righteous means to follow the law, and specifically to follow the law of Israel. The Pharisee kept the law, and he is righteous. Jesus doesn't seem to dispute this. He doesn't condemn the Pharisee at all as being wrong. But he's not, Jesus says. The Pharisee is not justified. Tax collector, on the other hand, is pretty much close to the opposite of the Pharisee. He doesn't keep the law. He has pretty much nothing to boast about. No one would certainly call him righteous. Far from it. His neighbors probably despise him because he makes his living off of them, charging more than they could even pay sometimes. And he knows this, this tax collector. He knows this, and so he stands. Like if he were here today, he'd be back in the far corner of the narthex, maybe even in the parking lot. Not even getting out of his car. Not even lifting his eyes heavenward. He prays and begs God for mercy. This is the one, Jesus says. This is the one who is justified. Why? Why? Because righteousness is about what we accomplish. It's about what we do, how we follow the letter of the law. And to be justified is what God does, how God restores us to a right relationship with God, no matter what we have done, no matter what we haven't done, simply because God does. Maybe to help understand this distinction a little bit, and I recognize this isn't necessarily everyone's experience, but how many of you as children ever disobeyed your parents? How many of you ever made mistakes? And yet, your parents loved you anyway. Or how many of you as parents don't have perfect children or grandchildren, and yet you love them anyway? You were loved, or you love, not because of any specific actions or deeds that you did as a child or that your children or grandchildren have done. But you were loved, or you love, simply because they are your child, or because you were their child. In this parable, the Pharisee lives a blameless life. And for this reason, he is righteous. The tax collector does not live a blameless life. But he asks God for mercy. He asks God to look at him and to judge him, not on what he has done or hasn't done, but to look at him and to judge him based on who God is. Because God is compassionate, loving, and forgiving. Do you see the difference? And this is where the parable gets a little tricky. Because we tend to read it in a very straightforward kind of way. You know, the Don't be self-righteous like the Pharisee, be humble like the tax collector. But pretty soon we can end up praying prayers that sound a lot like this. God, we thank you that we're not like other people. Hypocrites, the overly pious, the self-righteous, or even like the Pharisee. We come to church every Sunday. We listen attentively to the sermon, right? We give generously. We've even taught Sunday school. And we've learned that we should always be humble. That kind of starts to sound familiar, almost like that gotcha moment. We too may be righteous, but not justified. You know, being righteous is never enough. Because it's always based on the things that we do and things that we don't do. It's based on our accomplishments, much like success. It's never enough because we can always do more. The law always demands that we do more. If you've done this, then you can do more. If you tithe, then give 15%. If you give 15%, then give 20%. The law always demands that we do more. And you and I can never fill that. We can never do enough. At least I know I will eventually fall short. We are not perfect people, not one of us. And we all stand in need of God's grace. And the good news is that our God is merciful. You know, and this difference of accomplishing our own righteousness and being justified by God is what Martin Luther proclaimed in the 16th century that kind of started the whole Reformation. He knew, along with that nameless tax collector, that the secret to being a follower of Christ, maybe even to being a human being, is not to strive for righteousness, and it's not even to just be humble. Instead, it's to receive God's love and mercy and let it set us free. Free to live joyfully as loved and forgiven children of God. You know, Jesus says, two men went up to the temple to pray. And one went home justified. Maybe he would even start a parable today and say, a whole bunch of people came to St. Mark Lutheran Church to pray. How many of us are going to go home justified? And the answer is actually pretty simple. The answer is all of us who look to God for mercy. All of us who look to God for forgiveness. All of us who look to God for compassion. All of us who look to God for mercy are justified because God is merciful. God loves us no matter what. Always and forever, no matter what. Not because of what we've done or what we haven't done, but because we are God's beloved children. Because God is loving and gracious and merciful. God's love and forgiveness are given to us freely. Not because we've earned it, but because this is who God is. Because we are God's children. And God truly does love us no matter what. And this love sets us free. Sets us free to joyfully live out our lives as loved and forgiven children of God. That is a great story. Thanks be to God. Amen.